All right, we're recording.
This is us recorded.
Mm-hmm. Recording. But when they hear it, it's recorded.
That's true.
So I don't think I have anything to add to this conversation.
I mean, we're starting off super deep.
Super strong.
Oh, welcome back, guys. This is Blessing on This Podcast, which I hope you know because that means it was labeled correctly on the iTunes and the Google Play. I'm Jerry.
I'm Meredith.
I'm Charity.
And we're here to talk about the church and being single and Jesus. Other stuff.
Aspects.
What's that? What's it all?
Et cetera, et cetera.
That one too.
This is our theme song. I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh.
Okay. Hit it.
Right?
This is our theme song. Well, bless.
You're so talented.
Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for today and for the opportunity to come together to talk about life with each other, to talk about life in your name. God, help us to lead this conversation in the direction you want us to go, that we keep our minds on you, our hearts on you, God, and that we're honest, that we're truthful, but also that we come to the conclusion that you want us to come to. We ask all these things in your precious and holy Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Did I say that? Here's something. This is a side note. Do y'all ever start a prayer and talk to God and then maybe Jesus a little bit and then end it in his Son's name? And I go, I just talked to Jesus and then I just said in his Son's name.
It's he's all the one. Trinity.
That's yeah. True. Yeah.
So you can interchange all of that.
In the Trinity's name, I pray.
There
See?
You go.
Amen.
He knows.
Okay, sorry.
He knows.
Exactly. That was a side note. Okay.
Your prayer was still effective.
But, you know, you did you ever think about this? Like when Jesus prayed, he didn't say, and in my name, pray. I don't know when we started this, actually.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, that's funny. Touche. All right. Well, I'm throwing out the topic. I don't really have it in the form of a question per se, but I don't even know how to actually present this, guys, but there are times where you find yourself attracted to a man, right? Like, there's just certain...
Really? What's that?
I know.
Just a few times.
I know. Once or twice. And there is, there's just maybe certain looks in guys or this or that you're more attracted to, but there's like a physical attraction that happens. But I guess what I want to ask and discuss today is, like, what do you do when you find yourself physically attracted to a man that you shouldn't be physically attracted to? Like, say you met a man who you found very attractive, but he is married, but yet you still have those physical attraction feelings, even though you know in your mind, nothing can ever happen, we need to nip this in the bud. How do you walk something like that out and handle it in a way that's honoring to God? Because it's just real life that's going to happen. We're human, mm-hmm. You know, we're human. And so let's call a spade. Those things are going to happen. How do we deal with that?
Well, I mean, I remember my boss saying, a former boss saying that, even once you're married, like, you'll get crushes on people. Like, you know, you'll think, oh my gosh, you know, that for him, you know, that girl is just so cute, you know, and have a little crush on him. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of having a conversation about this one time, and another friend of mine was involved in it as well, but it was just the whole, and she's married, but she just said, yeah, she said, I mean, it's a thing, and it's challenging. I mean, obviously for us, we're single, and that's different than being married and having an attraction to someone, but I don't think that changes based on your
marital status.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think it does either.
I guess I've never really, like, there's been times that I've found someone, because I think there's a difference between finding someone attractive and then being attracted to someone. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. I can look at them and enjoy the aesthetic of who they are.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that I have a pull toward them physically or, you know, emotionally.
Yeah. There's a difference. And in fact, I usually find myself a lot more comfortable around married men just because it's like, I'm not trying to impress you or, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I mean, that's whether I think they're attractive or not.
Right.
Yeah. Like I tend to be probably more my personality. Mm-hmm. And so, but the problem is to someone else that may look like I'm flirting.
Right.
When legitimately I'm just super comfortable. You're just
comfortable. Being you, Jerry.
Exactly.
And they might fall in love with you and like you can help that.
Because you're just so being charming. You. But I don't even think the person I'm talking, I mean like I an know observer, what you, mean. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like the spouse may be looking yeah. at, but usually if the spouse is there, I'm interacting the same with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's like you saying, you know, because if I'm flirting with someone that I'm interested in, I'm not really good at flirting.
No. No.
I'm not great at eye contact. I'm not right. great at being funny. I'm just like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with it's, if he's married, I'm like, nothing's going to happen here. I don't yeah. have to be self-conscious or worried yes. or whatever. Yeah. I'm just having a conversation with this yes. person.
Yeah.
And whichever way yeah. it yeah. goes, it goes. Like, it just, what direction, like, I think of a guy that I used to go to church with, and, you know, he's played in the band, and I adore that man. Like, he's so friendly and so kind and just really comfortable. I'm really comfortable
mm-hmm.
around him.
Mm-hmm.
Not attracted to him. Don't, yeah. I don't feel any sort of pull in that direction. That's not yeah. that relationship in the slightest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it just is an easy flow conversation.
Yeah.
You just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? But it's because there's nothing going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, you know? And I'm 100% know that. And it's not even, like, I know that because he's married. It's also, I know that because he's married and I'm just not attracted to
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think that also happens with non-married men. Like, if I'm not attracted oh, yeah. to him, I'm
much more comfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Around him.
You know that.
Yeah. You know, I will love to learn how to be as comfortable around a non-married man I got a crush on as I am with, you know, people
everyone
that I'm
else.
Like, nothing.
Yeah.
As I am with wait staff.
Yeah, as has been
and how easily I can flirt with waiters. You know, it's interesting. And I think there is there's probably some psychological study
mm-hmm.
of, you know, our minds and how we react to people that we don't feel we're trying to impress.
Yeah.
That we know we're just
yeah.
hanging
yeah.
out with, you know, being yeah. friends with. So, but I guess the biggest thing is recognizing it first, like to answer your question, is
yeah.
to recognize, hey, I am attracted to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, going to God every single
you gotta
time,
take
that
your thoughts
moment.
Captive. That's exactly
like,
it, what I was going to say.
Just like,
take
just the
captive.
Just the moment that, not even letting it sit there for
no.
a second. Like,
do
that
not
is,
daydream on it.
No.
That's when David got into trouble with Bathsheba.
That's
like,
right.
That was the turning point for him. Like, he was out there living his life, doing his mm-hmm. thing, and then he saw his beautiful woman, and he looked. Like,
yeah.
like he made that
mm-hmm.
choice to not walk mm-hmm. away. He made the choice to look.
Yeah.
And then he made the choice to act on it.
And then he made the choice to murder her husband. And I mean.
That's just, it's not funny, but it's
no.
like, and then he made the choice to murder her husband. So we don't suggest that route, guys.
Not suggest that route. Not the best way yeah, to no. get your
obviously.
Married person you're after there.
I
yeah.
know. But. And that's exactly what I was going to say. Taking thoughts captive is like the most important thing, not letting it take root for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were just recently talking about culture. I think our culture has led us to believe that if you are physically attracted to someone, that means love.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that's somebody you should be with. And that's when
yeah.
a lot of people get into trouble is that they're like, I'm so physically attracted to this person. Therefore, there's something
mm-hmm.
there. We need to be
mm-hmm.
together. And then you start doing things you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm, right.
And life falls out from underneath
mm-hmm.
you because you're doing something you're not supposed to do.
Right.
And we get that in our movies and our TV shows. And I'm not bashing them. I love my movies. I love my TV shows. I love my books. I'm all about all these fiction stories. However, it does lead you to believe that physical desire or lust or whatever that is love. But love is an entirely different
mm-hmm.
thing. And there's been... I was going to say, there's plenty of men, but there's been a good number of men in my life over the years that I've been very physically attracted to that nothing was ever supposed to happen. And it didn't, and it was fine,
mm-hmm.
but you do feel drawn to that person,
yeah.
you know?
And by physical attraction, you're still speaking more, like, obviously their appearance, but also maybe
who
their
they are.
Personality.
Yeah, exactly.
And, okay.
It's the whole, it's
yeah.
the whole package.
The whole shebang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also, and I mean, this is proven because it's on radio show. So that's so. But I've actually heard this before. So there was these two guys who have this radio show, and I happened to be listening to it one day when I was driving home from work. And one of the guys is married, and one of the guys is not married. And so they were talking about how apparently women are much more attracted to married men than they are single men.
Really?
Like, it's something in our
Is it because it's safe? Do you think, or provider?
Well, that, but I think that it's also, they're wanted by somebody else. It makes them more appealing to you. Like, if you could steal their affection from that. Yeah.
Really?
But, so get this. So, this guy, so the guy who's not married, you know, goes out to bars or wherever these people go.
To meet the people.
That I don't go to, apparently.
Yeah, singles, where do we go?
Yeah. And so like he did this whole test of, he went out like usual and he said, you know, I'm just like being not shot down, you know, here and there. Well, then he got like a fake wedding ring and he put it on and he went out again and he said, I cannot tell you how many women were coming up to me.
Oh, that makes me sick to my stomach.
So I'm just saying, ladies, that we have to be cautious that apparently it's a thing. Like there's something there to the fact that a married man, for whatever reason, can be very attractive to us.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just as shocked by that. Yeah. I'm like,
so
really?
It's not even...
It's not a deterrent.
Physical. It's not even a physical thing. Exactly. Like appearance. It's, it's interesting. That's so weird.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, that is not like a scientific study.
You said it was proven. It was on the radio.
Yeah, it was on the radio. That one guy did it.
But I did think it was a really interesting little side study that they did. But also, I think, because like, you know, you brought up David and the fact that he got himself into trouble. I think that a lot of times, now granted, Satan can tempt me out of the blue. Oh, like, I can just be going along in life just fine. And then all of a sudden, here comes Satan and is like, wouldn't you love to have that? And it's like, I would. But I also find that a lot of times that's a symptom of where I am in my walk.
Oh, wow.
So, like, if I'm allowing myself to think about someone that I should not think about, or, you know, think about them in a lustful way, and it doesn't matter. Like, if that man is single or married, I shouldn't take my thoughts captive. I shouldn't be thinking about him in that way. But I find that it's usually more of a symptom of where I'm at in my walk with God. And just like David, like, he should have been at war. He should have been out doing what God called him to do. Instead, he was at home. He was bored. He didn't have anything to do. And lo and behold, he walks out and, you know, sees her, you know, bathing on the roof or whatever. And,
which ladies don't do.
Just big eye roll here.
Not that it's fully her fault, but don't bathe on the roof.
Exactly. That's just a good life lesson.
Yeah. But, I mean, it takes two, you know?
Yeah,
and so she was definitely, you know, a big party to that.
But, yeah, no, that's a great point.
Well,
that's a really
and
good point.
Also, like, I got really convicted over this, so I'm in the process of, you know, trying to find a new church and everything. And I visited this one church a couple times. And the pastor brought up a really good point because he was saying, you know, of course, how Christ talks about if you think it, it's the same, you know, because and that's why we're commanded to take our thoughts captive, because a thought leads to action.
Absolutely.
And so that's why if you dwell on that and you daydream about it, then you're opening yourself up to the idea of it.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that he said, you know, and I forget exactly what this whole topic was, but he specifically made a point to point, he said, you know, he said, and ladies, there may be a lot of you out there who are very, you know, pure, very righteous. And, you know, he said, but for lack of opportunity, that married man at your office that you think is super attractive hasn't come over to you and, you know, offered to take you out for a drink after work or, you know, something like that. And I'm like, that's hugely convicting.
Wow.
Because it's like, you know, first of all, I need to be thanking God more for his protection. And like, God, what, you know, because, you know, and then also just the realization of, I mean, probably a lot of my, you know, current purity is based upon the fact that the Lord hasn't given me that, you know,
that opportunity
necessarily.
Ooh. I also think, with not necessarily on that subject, but the idea of keeping your thoughts captive, but also telling someone.
Yes.
You know, if you find yourself attracted to someone, because if someone else is there, they can keep you accountable in case an opportunity comes up, you know, and you're like, okay, I'm going to have to keep myself in check because, and I know someone else is going to be asking.
Right.
So it kind of helps
you keep a little more in check when, if an opportunity, like if that man does come to you and say something, you can be like.
And I think, though, that that's why we need to have friends like you guys in our lives that we already are communicating these things to. Yeah. Because if I start walking in a way that y'all are like, that's not, you know, what you've told us where your heart is and how, you know, you want your walk to be. But also, and, you know, I don't know where anybody is right now, but I just remember I had a Sunday school teacher who was talking about this. She had a friend who had basically told her that the Lord had given her this married man, you know, that they had been having an affair and that she believed. And and she looked at her and said, God is never going to give you someone else's husband.
Yeah,
absolutely. Ever.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You know, so I think that we, because Satan is such a liar.
Yeah.
And he can come at us and say, but this guy is. And I honestly have been very cautious about conversations that I have with married men, especially when they start bad mouthing their wives. And I will immediately put a stop to it and say, you know, I'm going to agree with her on this. Like, you know that I totally agree with, you know. And so I think it's important to not be that confidant for a man and to put that immediate, like, to immediately put water on that.
Yeah.
Because that is a little flame that could turn into, because here's the thing, like, Satan is the great manipulator and he's gonna, you know, say, but he really loves you. Like, he's so, like, she's so mean to him. She's, you know, she just doesn't treat him the way that, that you would treat him, and he really loves you. And I just think you can just get mired up in a web so quickly. And so I just think that it's so important to recognize it immediately and to put a stop to it.
And it's not to say that it's 100% our fault / responsibility, but it also is.
It is.
Like, if we feel attracted at all, or we feel like someone is coming, like, we are at the end of the day responsible for our actions.
That's right.
So if something were to happen, like, I don't want us to feel like it's all the woman's fault and it's all the woman's side, but as women, single women, that's where our, that's where our opinions are coming from. That's where our perspectives are.
Yeah.
So we know, you know, he will be held accountable for what he has said or done or thought.
Yeah.
And as will we. Yeah. And so we can't be his, you know, whatever, guide or moral compass, but we can make decisions for ourselves to protect ourselves and our thoughts and our hearts as well.
And to not participate. I mean, because like I said before, I mean, it takes two to enter into that. But also, just because my heart is very tender to those that may have walked something like this out, but also know that God's grace is sufficient.
And, absolutely.
You know, if you've been walking in something that you know that the Lord is convicting you in a way that you need to turn and go the other way, know that there is forgiveness there and that you can walk away from it, and that and that you don't have to live under that shame.
That's not who you are. That's not your name. That's not your title.
No,
that's not your identity. Like, I think about the woman at the well.
That's right.
And I don't, you know, I think about that story, and it's not, to me, I don't see her as, you know, probably what society had seen her. I saw her as someone who Jesus saw, who Jesus loved, who Jesus reached out to, and, you know, still welcomed her.
He saw her.
Exactly.
He saw her heart and he saw her need, and he turned her life around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great, Jeremy.
And there's never a point, to where you can't turn around.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. And go the other way.
Yeah.
And change that narrative.
That's so we know what to do, like, mentally, and talk to our friends and keep that in check. But also, what are your thoughts on situations where you are end up alone with someone? And not, it's not in a romantic instance. It's not a romantic situation. It's not a romantic, like, oh, we're going to dinner together. But, you know, someone's in an office and it's just you and a man. And it's more, I guess, more about appearance than it is about actual opportunity. I don't know. Like, what are y'all thoughts? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. My friend Diane was telling me about, it was a pastor of hers or a youth pastor that has the mentality, I'm going to set the bar so high on how I'll be alone with a woman or won't be alone with another woman, that if that bar and or that line ever gets crossed, that everything is still totally fine. Like, he set the bar at, I will never even be alone in a car with another woman who is not my wife. And I think about that often, because on one hand, I love that and respect that, because they are honoring their wife, and it's making, as my mom always says, don't let your good be evil spoken of, you know? And that's him doing that. But then there is also the aspect of, there is real life, you know what I mean? And just last week, I was on a production, and I needed a ride back to my car that was 3 minutes away, and there was two cars available. I was the only female on this production. And it was a matter of, whose car do I jump into? And there was one guy, and he was a younger guy, and he's a very handsome guy, and there wasn't anything bad he said or did, but I could tell he didn't want to have me be the person in his car with him. And on one hand, I'm like, I fully respect that, and I'll get in this other guy's car and let him drive me back the 3 minutes back to my vehicle, because it's real life. I needed a ride back to my car. That's just the way the circumstances were. However, it made me feel like I was doing something wrong or inappropriate by needing a ride back to my car. Mm-hmm. And so there's the other side of that, like, you know, is that standard so high to where you make other people feel like they're doing something wrong or inappropriate when it's just real life? And it's a very fine line. Mm-hmm. But then I think, are we responsible for how other people think or how they feel? Mm-hmm. We're responsible for what God calls us to do. So then I go back to, okay, I fully respect that.
Yeah.
But then, okay, so who's going to give me a ride back to my car?
Yeah.
I need to get back to my car, so somebody needs to take me there.
Yeah.
So
I guess, what would be the fair compromise? Because let's say there wasn't another car. That he was the only option.
Yeah.
What is the fair compromise to where he feels like he is still living his standard, mm-hmm. but where you're not
walking,
quote-unquote, temptress. Right. You're just being a woman who needs just a car.
You need to get back to
you
my
know,
car.
You just need a vehicle.
Yeah.
What is that compromise? Like, because yeah. I get it. As some, I would want to respect, you know, there was a woman I worked with, and her husband had a very high standard as well. Like, would not share an office with another woman. Mm-hmm. He probably wouldn't be alone in a car with a woman. Like, he was very respectful, and I 100% loved it. I thought it was great. But then you get into that type of your type of situation, and it's like, what would be the good compromise to where I don't feel like I'm having you give up your morals, but, you know, we're still living life.
Yeah, because it's just reality.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody needs a ride back to their car.
That's true.
Yeah. You know? Well, and it's like, because where I park at my office is a little bit suspect. It's just, you know, and especially in the wintertime when it's dark out, it gets dark really early. Mm-hmm. Like, I will make some man in that office walk me to my car. You know, but that's, you know, but I'm not trying to be like,
mm-mm. Right. Mm. Yeah.
No.
But because they're chivalrous, they want to walk.
But you know, maybe he's someone that, you know, we don't ever know someone else's story. Mm-hmm. So he could know, I can't even do that.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
But I think that's an extreme case.
Yeah.
I think most men would be fine with you even, or you know what, one thing you could say too is, you know, I'm more than happy to just ride in the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll just
or FaceTime the wife.
Yeah. Put the wife on your
phone. Be on the phone and be like, you can just kind of be in the car with her.
We don't even have to talk.
Or, you know, why couldn't he have asked that other guy to ride with y'all, and then he could have, if you're just 3 minutes away.
Yeah.
He could have ridden with you. Yeah. You know, y'all all could have ridden over there together.
Yeah.
And then he could have come back and dropped that guy off. So, I mean,
because what's to say that the other guy wasn't married? And
no, the man whose car I got into was also married.
Yeah, and so he
right.
What happens if they both have that standard?
Yeah,
and,
right.
I mean, that's a perfect solution is having you all together, and also you shouldn't feel guilty.
I know
that is not something that you should carry at all.
I agree.
If you like, I feel like we as women carry guilt sometimes that we don't need, like it's not ours to carry,
right? Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have to look at a situation and go, I wasn't trying to tempt him. I wasn't trying to be, you know, and I don't think he necessarily thought that either.
I don't think so either,
you know, but at the end of the day, his first kind of
responsibility.
Allegiance is to his wife.
Absolutely.
Which
yeah.
is respectable.
Which should be.
Exactly. So, but that's not something I feel like you have to take yeah. either, is that guilt or that weight, because
I did nothing
wrong. You
know
your heart. Yeah. You knew your heart. You knew where your mind was. It was not anywhere near the gutter.
No.
So there's no need for you to walk away from that. And I think that's another thing of one of those, no one can make you feel something that you don't want to feel.
That's
like
right.
like it's yeah, really it's really on you to go.
Yeah.
Even if he feels uncomfortable, it's not my fault.
Right.
This
yeah.
is just the situation we have found ourselves in.
Yeah.
I'm not going, hey, here's also a hotel room we should probably
right.
exactly. share.
Why don't you stop it's, by later?
Exactly. It's
no.
literally just I need a drive from here to mm-hmm. my car because
yeah.
I cannot walk that
no.
distance and it's not safe to walk that
exactly.
distance.
Right. Exactly.
And so that's something that you don't have to carry and that's not your responsibility. So.
Yeah, that's a very good
well,
point.
Well, you know, of course, then I'm sitting here as we're having this conversation thinking about, well, what if it was the other way around? Like, what if I was being asked, like a man wanted me to take him somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if it was a short distance. I think there'd be some I'd be comfortable doing that with.
Yeah,
some not.
Some that I would
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I think that's a different...
Because you know a little bit more about the character of the person that would be.
And
yeah.
is it
yeah.
more about safety versus...
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
yeah.
I think that
reputation.
That's what I'm thinking because yeah. I think that we as women have to think differently about
I
that.
Think, yes.
We always have to put our safety first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the world that we live in. I mean, we are preyed upon by men and
mm-hmm.
we have to,
mm-hmm.
you know, put our safety first. And
yeah.
so... There are just times when, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking about some people where I'd be like, oh, I would not feel comfortable driving you
mm-hmm.
5 minutes down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you
yeah,
know what I'm
I get
saying?
It. Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, but I'm like, I mean, Jesus would do it. Like, why would I not just.
Jesus but he could also walk on water.
I was
going to
say,
it's
he could perform
true.
Miracles and be like, you're going to stay
true.
Still until we get there.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah.
yeah.
So, I mean,
it's
you know.
There is a whole other yeah. level that we have to be careful of as
yeah,
women
right.
in those situations.
Right. But also, I mean, I kind of feel like that in that guy's situation, like he could have explained himself a little bit better. And, you know, if that was really the reason behind it, because I'm just thinking about like, what if we're just the two of you?
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
that other guy wasn't there.
What if, yeah. What if
what
everyone
was he going
to
do? Is he going to, you know, call you a taxi? Like
yeah.
what exactly
right.
is he?
Uber 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Uber. Yeah.
You know, or
maybe
like
that's
you
what
say,
I
should have
done.
But, or like you said, maybe he puts his wife on the phone, you know,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
But, and like, but it also goes to the pastor that you were saying that you make
yeah.
the bar so high.
That if
you
he
know,
did give you a ride, it wouldn't be that
nothing's
big
happened.
A deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, yes, his bar was crossed a little bit, but because it was so high.
It was totally fine.
Nothing came of it.
Even it's not even PG. It's G rated.
Yeah.
like it's like,
yeah.
literally 3 minutes alone in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I get to my car and I don't see them until the next day.
Exactly.
just,
exactly.
That was the
yeah.
reality of how it happened. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These are good things mm-hmm. to talk about because
mm-hmm.
these are real life
yeah.
situations and.
Right. And as a single woman, I want to be respectful of
always.
That too. Like,
oh,
I don't,
always.
Because
yeah.
I think about. You were saying if it was the roles were reversed and we were the driver, but I also think, what if I was the wife?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, I do like the idea that my husband is so convicted
mm-hmm.
that he's like,
I don't even want
there to be a suspicion,
mm-hmm.
right, that something could have happened.
But then I'm also like, you need to give the poor girl a ride.
I know. The husband
was
chivalrous
yeah.
as well.
I'm
yeah,
like, you do not leave her there.
But he could always call me first and I'd be like,
that's right.
Yeah. Give the young lady a ride, please.
Yes.
yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, I'm
going to
give the car
with
the
call me
for 3 minutes.
As soon as you're home.
That's it, yeah.
That's right.
That's yes. how we can work this.
Yes,
yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
a good solution.
I think there
yeah.
has to be a balance between respect, but also
yeah.
grace.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I like
so.
That, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
That's
respect
good.
And grace.
Respect
yes.
and grace.
Yeah.
I feel like that sums up this conversation pretty well.
I love it.
And helping others.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Helping, but, yeah.
Yes.
Love it. And respect, grace, and helping others.
There's the title of this episode.
I love it.
Oh, man. You gotta step up. You ready?
Yeah. And now let's segue into our sharing corner.
And I'm going to share with you today.
And so, who are you?
I'm Meredith.
Okay, good.
yes, as if you couldn't tell. So I recently heard a sermon. Actually, the guy didn't even really preach about Deborah in the Bible. He just mentioned her. He said, you know, go and look her up because she's someone that, you know, women need, especially women. But hey, men need to know it too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Um,
don't ever leave those men out.
But So I did, and you can find her story in Judges because she was a judge. And what is really fascinating about her is that, first of all, she was a woman who was a judge, which, and she was also a prophet or prophetess since she's of the female persuasion. So, but she is the only judge that is mentioned to have both, that she was both a prophet and a judge. Mm. And one of the interesting things about a judge during that time is, I mean, obviously their main purpose was to make relationships right. So people would come to her and share what their dispute was, kind of like judges do today.
I was just thinking, well, I'm like, that's an interesting word.
Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. But she also would do, like, what did I say? Administration or something. And she would also have been a military type leader. And if you read her story, you will find out that she did, in fact, give the Lord's command to a guy named Barak, not the president, but he was the military leader of the Israelite army back in the day. You know, during that Deborah's time in
day.
Yeah,
just
during
Deborah's
day.
You know, a bit retro.
But so she gave him, you know, God gave his command to Barak through her as to how they were to defeat the Canaanite armies. So, I don't know, it's just that story really impacted me in the fact that, you know, especially during that time, the fact that she was even in that sort of a role at a time when women were not highly favored to be leaders, or
the world didn't highly favor
that's
them
right
to be leaders.
Oh, that's good, such a good point. Such a good point. But that God has always esteemed women, and that he has a plan and a future for us, and that we are called to be leaders.
Okay, now hold on a minute. What? Somebody interrupt you. You just said we're not promised a future in that last
Wait, what did I just say?
You said he's given us a hope and a future.
But that's scripture.
That's also a scripture.
I know, but I'm so confused. Is it, does he, do we not have a future, or do we have
Jerry, you know better than this. I am not promised tomorrow, but if God gives me a tomorrow, there's a hope and a future there. But here's the thing. But even if he takes me out of this world, I have a hope and a future.
Oh, that's true.
That I'm going to spend forever with him. Sorry. So that promise is forever.
Oh, gotcha.
Eternity.
Whether or not tomorrow happens.
That's an eternal future. I gotcha. Okay, ooh, okay.
Jerry's one of those in your classroom. That's there to sanctify
I apologize. You were on such a good roll about Deborah. Because we were saying, you know, the world didn't have women in such high esteem. But God did. And, you know, I grew up in a church that allowed for women ministers. My first pastor was a woman. And yet I still am not familiar with the female people in the Bible. And I don't know their stories that well, because we weren't really taught them. And it's kind of like, unless I was in a women's Bible study, then I learned about them. But I'm like, hey dudes, y'all need to learn about them too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's right.
Yeah. It's important.
Deborah. We learn about all the men.
I learned about all the men. Deborah, who is a prophetess and a judge.
Yep. So yeah. There you go. You should read about her.
Mm-hmm. And Barak.
Not the president.
You can read about him, too.
Yeah. Well, you can't. Yeah.
He's both probably not in the Bible. Both stories would be equally fascinating.
I'm sure.
Amen and God bless.
Hey, BSers. Remember to check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Just type in Blessed Singleness Podcast, and you'll be able to find us.
And wherever you listen to us, we're going to just know the three R's. Rate, review, and
remember to listen.
That's
to the podcast.
Remember to listen. Okay. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.